Good morning. Greetings to each one in Jesus' precious name this morning. Enjoyed the service very much so far as we have gathered together to worship. Is that what you came here for this morning, is to worship? I appreciated Dennis's devotions, and I again needed the reminder to not become trying to decide what the right word is. I've been trying to think about it ever since he brought the devotion, and cynical is the only word that comes to my mind as I hear about all the fear. Especially this week, it's something I battled with, is not just simply having a heart for people and not just making fun of them for the fear that drives them. Because you stop and think about the host of things around us that could kill us, and then the panic that is brought on by a little virus. And then I was asked the question this morning, why are people afraid of this sickness? And my answer was, because they're not ready to die. And as I pondered that answer that I gave, what am I doing? And it was a reminder for myself. Am I just being cynical and making fun of these people, or is my heart there, trying to reach out to them and show them that there is a way to live without fear? I also enjoyed the Sunday school class a lot. I feel like it went very well with my message. Our studies in Galatians and Corinthians have somewhat brought on this message. 2 weeks ago, I was going to preach, and I was thinking about this subject, and then Brother Harold spoke for me, and so I thought, well, I'll just keep working on it. And then Brother Ed was here last Sunday, and so I actually had 3 weeks to think about and to prepare for this message. And it is my desire that if I do not speak the truth, that it would be forgotten or brought to my attention, or however you want to put it. But I desire to speak about the church this morning. And as we think about it in relation to the Sunday school, there is so much, there's just so much to touch on, and I don't know quite where to go with it all. If you remember, a number of weeks ago, there was another visiting minister here, and he spoke on obtaining, maintaining close-knit church life. And that is perhaps what really got me started thinking about and entertaining some of the questions that I did. And he brought us a message of a very practical thing for me, what I can do to make church life better. And just some of his thoughts was a Christ-like love, esteeming each other better than themselves, unity, prayer. Do we pray passionately? Confession and hospitality, listening, openness, many things he brought out in that message. And as I started thinking about this, and what I would like to look at more this morning is, where did the church come from? Who established the church? And I'm not sure that I'll touch all these points, but these are questions that my mind was generating as I thought about this message. What is my responsibility to the church? Does the church have authority over my life? And do we need the church? And the list could go on and on. And I definitely want to look at the first two questions right away, because that establishes the church. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. As I was reading through in my personal devotions, I came across this much about the same time that I started raising some of these questions in my own mind. And I want to use this as a springboard for the message this morning. Matthew chapter 16, and we'll start reading at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I'll stop reading there. So is Jesus saying in this passage that Peter is the foundation of the church? I think we all know the answer to that. But if we would go back to the beginning of each one of the Gospels, back to the beginning of Matthew, especially Matthew, we would find that it says that John the Baptist began to preach that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God or heaven is at hand. And Jesus in Matthew began to preach that as well. I did not check all the rest of the Gospels, but I know that Matthew says that Jesus began to preach that as well, that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. And I ask the question, what is the kingdom of heaven? What would your answer be if somebody asked you, what is the kingdom of heaven? I believe it's God's kingdom. God is the creator. We understand that. Some of these facts are very basic facts to our Christian faith. And yet I think it is good for us from time to time to go back and set in our minds these facts of life that have never changed and that are very critical to our Christian walk. But God created the world. And it is his kingdom. Earth is only an extension of that kingdom. Just as Glenn said in the devotions, God has a kingdom that is very vast. And earth is simply an extension of that kingdom. We also have the kingdom of Satan. And life is about deciding which kingdom I will serve. There are many distractions for people that are living for the kingdom of God. And I don't know, this could be a debatable thing, but I don't believe that the kingdom of Satan has a lot of distractions. When you are in the kingdom of Satan, you are where he wants you. And perhaps he is like that spider and he just wraps you in his web that only God can free us. So we have God's kingdom. In the earth is a extension of that kingdom, and the church is a part of that kingdom. The church is God's kingdom on earth. That is where God is a part of. Even though God has the entire earth in his control, there is, the church is established by God, by his kingdom. And as far as distractions, the kingdom of the people living for the kingdom of God face a lot of distractions. And I would say all churches across the world face the same basic distractions. Depending on our location of earth, the distractions may differ somewhat, but it all comes back to the same basic fact that we live in a two-kingdom world, and the church is God's kingdom on earth. And so since the church is the extension of the kingdom of God on earth, we have a work to do as soon as we join the church. And I hesitate to use that terminology because for some people, as soon as you become a member, they look at that as the new birth experience. And I don't want to diminish the fact that to join Or the only way to join the church this morning is to have the new birth experience. You cannot come and just be a part of a local body without that newborn experience and be a part of God's church. And I wanted to say at the beginning, there is a lot of opinions and variation of determining what the Bible means by church. A lot of people view the church as just a worldwide thing, and there is no need for a local body. And I'm not really going to get in that this morning, because I believe that the scripture is very clear that there is local bodies of churches that are part of the church of God. You can just read in Revelation, the first number of chapters there, and Jesus sent specific letters to churches, and they were, I believe when he sent the letter, they were still all a part of the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. But there was warnings that if they did not change, they would be terminated from the church of Jesus Christ. So God has established his kingdom at creation. And as we read here, Jesus is establishing the church. And we know that the Father and the Son are one. And interestingly enough, man has tried to establish many different organizations. There is nothing that matches the church of Jesus Christ. Try as they might, they have their secret societies. They have their open societies. But man can never develop anything as close to the church of Jesus Christ that we can experience today. And I do not want to paint something today that is unattainable. There is a possibility. It is real in our lives to be part of the church of Jesus Christ. And even as churches, as we read in Revelation, the church of Jesus Christ can become terminated from the church of Jesus Christ. Even though a local body of believers at one... Let me back up a little bit. I'm getting myself confused. We can be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. But if you look at Revelation, there are things that we can do to terminate ourselves from the church of Jesus Christ. And usually what that is when man begins to follow his own thinking and establishes his own authority, that is what begins the separation. That is what brings on the separation. So what exactly is the church? If you look at the Greek word that is used, and interestingly enough, it is the same word every time church is used throughout the New Testament. It is the same word, and it means chosen or called out. An assembly that is chosen or called out. And I want us to stop and think about that. We were talking about adoption in Sunday school. When we become a part of the church, we become part of a group of people that are chosen or called out. This is not an establishment of man. We are joining something greater than what man can ever put together. And I want you to hold on to that thought as we go through here. The church is not an establishment of man, and there is a greater cause. I think there's another fact that we need to acknowledge, and that is when we choose Christ, we will find an assembly of believers to fellowship with. No matter what. I believe that God has created in each one of our hearts to find people of like faith. And I believe this applies to the believer and the unbeliever. You just look at the world around us, and humanity craves to be part of something. I believe God created that. And when we become followers of Christ, we will join with other believers. Man tries to duplicate the church. I mentioned this before, but there's always an emptiness there. And I believe that happens to a church as well, when it no longer follows Christ, it becomes empty. So what do we do when we are part of a church that feels like a man-made duplication? Maybe you all don't get those feelings. But I know there's times where I felt like that I'm just part of a man-made duplication. We're not really part of Jesus Christ church. And what is the first thing that carnal man tends to do? He begins to look around at those around us. But most often I've found the need is right in my own heart. The problem lies right within my own heart, that the reason I feel like this is a man-made church is because I am not acknowledging what the church actually is. And when I change my attitude towards that, then usually the church suddenly becomes a lot brighter place. The problem becomes downsized. All right, moving on. Christ has given the church authority. We look at that in the first part of 19. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Christ has given the church authority. And I would like to think about I came across this in my studying as I was reading some commentaries. I want you to think about this. Each one of us is a key to the kingdom. Not in the part that we're essential, and if we're not a part of the kingdom, then the kingdom is just not quite sufficient. But as each one of us join the church, as we join the church of Jesus Christ, we become a key. And how is that? You and I become an implement in God's hand to bring in more humanity to the church of Jesus Christ. Just think about this epidemic. All the people that are living in fear. Each one of us here that have a relationship with Jesus Christ are a key to reaching one person in this community to help solve that problem of fear. And it's a problem of sin. We are part of the key of the kingdom. And maybe I'm not quite looking at it right, but I was blessed with that thought, that we are, each one of us, are so essential to the church of Jesus Christ when it comes to sharing that relationship that we have with Christ with others. God would not have needed mankind. And I wanted to say at the beginning, when God created the world, He did not need to send Jesus. He did not need to come up with a plan to redeem mankind. And so we think about when Jesus came to this earth, it was because of His grace and His mercy and His love towards us. And I want us to consider that fact as we consider the church. Jesus did not need to establish the church for us. He did it because of His love for us. And that gives us a responsibility to, when we join the Church of Jesus Christ. There's many distractions for the Church of Jesus Christ, and one of these, I believe, is the distraction of authority. Carnal man seeks authority. Most of men's organizations are set up with authority levels. And many times we allow our carnality to come out in the Church of Christ and set up the church that way. But I believe that Jesus did not set up the church with differing levels of authority. I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 20. There's a few verses I want to read here. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. The background of this is James and John. I believe their mother came and asked for a higher position, thinking on carnal man's authority level. In verse 25, Well, let's start reading verse 24. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against these two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Or that word could be translated slave. And even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark and Luke and John also record a very similar setting and a teaching to this. And as we think about, as Jesus came, not because he was obligated to, but he came and established the church because of his love, that gives us a responsibility to come to serve. If you come to church, if you come to the church of Jesus Christ expecting people to serve you, you will not receive a blessing. You will not feel a part of the church. If I want to feel the blessing of Jesus Christ, I need to have the mindset that I am coming to serve. People often look at ordained men as having authority. Either they lift them up and put them in positions in their minds, or the ordained man lifts themselves up with authority. I would rather look at it as God giving each one of us responsibility. It is the world's view to look at organizations being run with authority. And I want us to take our minds to Romans 12, verse 2, where he talks about that renewing of the mind. When we become a part of Jesus Christ, we have to think differently. We cannot go back to the way our carnal man wants to run organizations. God has given us each responsibilities. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have a rule over you or lead you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. This is often taken to in the context of church leaders, and that's fine. But I would like to draw something a little different out of this morning. God gives us each responsibilities in church. And whatever responsibility that is, basically as soon as you join the Church of Jesus Christ, you are given a responsibility. And you become accountable to God for whatever responsibility that you have. When you teach Sunday school, when you lead singing, when you have a devotions, when you bring a message, you are being held accountable for what you're doing. When you teach school, when you babysit somebody's children, God is placing through the church a responsibility upon you, and you become accountable to God for what you say and what you do. And then I would like to turn that over for the rest of us that are listening. When there's a teacher, a song leader or something, it talks about submitting ourselves to that person. That they may give an account of that event with joy and not with grief. As we sit under the sound of a teacher, of a devotional leader, how are we responding to that? This is not a performance for man, but for God. As we stand and teach, and as we stand and listen, or sit and listen, this is a performance for God, not for ourselves. Maybe we can draw the parallel of a boss that hires a person that has no desire to work. All he's there is to just collect a paycheck. We all know the kind of grief that causes the boss. It's just a pain to deal with that. And as we sit at church and as we are there, what are we doing to help the church? Are we here to serve or are we here to collect a paycheck? I thought of the beauty of singing. There's different parallels we could draw here. What would it be like to come to church and only have one singer? Just one person sings and all the rest of us just sit and listen. Would we get much out of the service? Would it sound very good? I love four-part harmony singing. I used to really crave musical instruments and whatever, but as I get older, I just love four-part harmony. God has created us with voices to sing, and there is such beauty that blends as a congregation sings together. Not everyone has the gift of music, but what I love to hear is when people try, no matter if they're singing good or not, because God looks at the attitude and the performance, not the quality. Another parallel I would like to draw, going back to Hebrews 17, what if our song leader would get up and start singing and nobody would help? I kind of think he would probably walk out before the verse was over. But let's take that to other areas of church life. If we're here just to get everything handed to us, if we're not willing to put something into church life, it just kind of makes church life dead. I'd like to look at the last part of verse 19. What is my responsibility to the church? We've been touching on this all morning long. And I also see here in the last part of chapter 16, verse 19, where Jesus gives the authority to the church again. We can read in Acts where leaders got together and they made daily applications to the Word of God. We can go throughout history, our Anabaptist forefathers, where they got together. The church would get together. Maybe it was just the leaders, but they would make applications to church life. We can simply call them rules. Call them whatever you want. And I believe what Jesus is saying here in the last part of verse 19 is God blesses that. Whatever the church decides on earth is decided in heaven. That doesn't necessarily mean we can't change. I think of when the automobile was first coming out, that generation of people said you only could have black because it was worldly to have other colors. Today, my feeling is I hesitate to drive a black vehicle because in today's society, a black vehicle is a high-class vehicle. You look at the drug people. You look at different things. And I'm not saying it's wrong if you drive a black vehicle. But applications change, and we need to be willing to open God's Word as a church and make applications for today. That is a responsibility and authority that God has given the church. Man cannot live without rules. But I see in life two ditches that humanity is continually battling with. And one of those tendencies is for the Church of Jesus Christ to become a man-made, rule-based organization where the leadership, the people, first of all, the leadership become authority figures. Everything stops with the leadership and people begin to set a pecking order. And over time, you have a hen house that is noisy and everyone is scrambling to be at the right place in the pecking order. And building the kingdom is lost. And then the reaction to that, you have people that say, well, let's throw the rules away, let's not have anything. Can you imagine society with no rules? What would it like to drive through cities without any rules. God has created an orderly world, and He has created us to be an orderly people. And He has created us all on different levels of orderliness. Some families are just a whole lot more orderly than others. It's good you aren't in our house and we're getting ready for church. But what is my response to the church's authority? As these boundaries are established, while I do not want to live in a rule-based church, there is need for boundaries. And I believe my submission to these lines are a direct indication of my relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know if you follow my thinking through that or not, but if I'm not willing to live inside the guidelines of the church that I'm committed to, most likely I'm not submitted to Christ either. And it's not to say that this church has a perfect set of guidelines, but it is what this church has decided. And if I want to live outside of that and still be a part of this church, I don't believe I can be submitted to Christ either. I realize there could be a lot more considered in light of the church, but I ask myself the question, what am I doing to be a key in the kingdom? Church life, being part of Jesus Christ, comes down to each one of us as individuals being responsible for our own lives. God has given the gift of salvation. He has given me the gift of salvation. And now I bear the responsibility in telling others, living in a way that tells others of the good news. That is why we're here. That is why Sunshine Church is in Luna County, to share, to be a key in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, to share with others what Christ has done. What are the distractions in my life? What am I going to do with those distractions as I come upon them? Am I trying to build a man-made organization, or am I building with Jesus Christ? Am I building His church? Those are questions that came to me as I closed up the study. What am I doing? Where is my responsibility? Where is my submission? The more responsibility God lays upon each one of us, the more submission it takes to live in the church of Jesus Christ. And as you go out this week, what are you telling your neighbors and your friends? Where is your heart? Is it in building the church of Jesus Christ? Or is it in making a name for yourself in the community? These are all distractions that come with human living. Is the church of Jesus Christ the most important in your life? Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you at the close of this service. Lord, we thank you for each one that is here. Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the church. We thank you that we are not left alone in this world, but that we have brothers and sisters to join us, to worship together, to work together as we move through life. Lord, I just thank you for each one of the children that are here. I just pray that you would bless them. Help us, Lord, as we continue on, and as we go out into this community and there's many fearful people, Lord, help us to point them to you. You are only hope. You are the answer to the problems that we face. Just go with us and guide us and help us to live for you each day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.